Hi, I'm Jen Suliafu, and I'm delighted to be on this journey with you. Life is an exciting game with many twists and turns. It gets really good when we begin to learn how it works and how to win. I believe that no matter where someone's life is at, we have the power to make radical shifts to create a life that truly honors us. I live for awakenings, so let's get to it, darlings. Welcome back. I am so hyped about today's show. This is going to be so fun. I have my friend. She's become my friend. I first was kind of girl crushing on her. Her name is Felicia Bender. She's a numerologist. I reached out to her. I got to know her a little bit last year and I had her on my podcast. And I recently reached out again because I was like, Felicia, come to me. Let's talk about what's going on this sixth universal year. So she's here today to have a convo with me. We're gonna chat it up about some numerology, and it's gonna be a really fun segment. So welcome everyone. Welcome Felicia. I'm so glad you're back.
Oh, I'm so excited. It's so fun to just do the you know, let's just throw it into the grab bag of numerology, right? And it's funny though, because I find that people are much more familiar with astrology, right? Because astrologically, anyone, even people who don't know anything about astrology know what their sun sign is. You know, they know they're a Sagittarius or a Virgo or whatever. But I do find that numerology is a little bit more of a reach, right? For people understanding or knowing what it's even all about.
Yeah, you know, for some reason, numerology is my number one jam. I love it. I really resonate with the number. Mm-hmm. And I love it all. I always love to look through a different lens and see like different roadmaps that help us understand ourselves. I look at them as all very valuable tools with that energy embedded into these different codes. As far as Western astrology, Chinese astrology is also fascinating. I don't know if you're very familiar with that, because you are, I know you delve deep into the numerology, but numerology is just, it is so fun to me. And it's really easy for me to resonate with. And I think you really helped me with that because you call yourself the practical numerologist. And I love that about you. I love how practical you are. You speak in terms that I can understand. And I really, really enjoy that about.
Well, thank you. That's my point. Because for me, I've always been kind of, well, always is a strong word, but on this spiritual path. And yet I'm kind of a built-in skeptic and a pragmatist. And I that's why the numbers have spoken to me as well. Because it's there, it's a pattern. And what I love about it is that we're always like, oh, I wish there was a roadmap. I wish someone could, you know, I came in with instructions sort of thing. And we really do. It's just a matter of understanding where to find it and how to interpret it, right? Because the way that I start looking at numerology, for those of you who are listening who might be new, numerology is the, you know, ancient science and art. I use the type that comes from Pythagoras, you know, a Greek mathematician, all of that, the Pythagorean theorem of geometry. We've talked about it. Mm-hmm. Anyone out there is like, oh yeah, I remember that. Same guy, right? So basically posits that idea that numbers carry with them not only, you know, a quantitative value, like we're counting, right? But they carry with them frequency, data, information, vibration. And we can kind of willingly suspend that disbelief now in our technological world, right? Because we can see how coded everything is. I mean, what is, it's like our cell phone. We have a number that connects us individually through the ethers, right? Yeah. I mean, think about it. It's kind of wild if we really, and the cloud, like it's up there somewhere holding every shred of data that, so it's a lot to really take in. And yet on what I like to do is bring it down to earth in this way. You can use numerology for so many things, but what I'm most interested in is how to make our lives more on track, more in alignment, more purposeful. And so we can we look at your date of birth and your full name as it reads on your birth certificate. And then we can formulate a plan for you, a pathway, a blueprint, something that really gets deep into, you know, what you're here for, how you're going to do it, what your challenges are. It's super exciting to be able to see that framework, right? And to be able to validate where we are, where we've been, and where we're going.
Yeah, so fascinating. I recently had a podcast interview with my feng shui master. She does a lot of Chinese astrology. It's so fascinating. We talked about the tiger year and how that's going and how that's showing up. What's interesting to me is the tiger year is very, very, that energy is very, very intense. So when I was looking at 2022 before we stepped into this year, I was like, whoa, that's an intense energy. Okay. But then on the flip side of it, I was looking at the six and I was like, well, the six is very nurturing and it's family oriented. And you and I did a podcast together. Mm-hmm. So also everyone, if you didn't see that podcast with Felicia, it was about a year ago. You can look in the archive of the podcast. And she talks a lot about, we talked about, you know, really looking into the lens of what's 2022 going to be like. Well, now when we're here, go back and listen to that. And you're going to see that what she was already projecting and expecting and kind of giving us a little bit of insight as to what to expect, it's showing up. It's pretty cool. So, but I thought that was interesting that that six energy was very different than the tiger energy. And I don't know, maybe you don't think that, maybe there's something I'm not seeing, but I kind of wanted you to speak to that and give us kind of an insight as to what you are, how is the six showing up for us, mm-hmm. and what are you seeing?
Well, it's interesting. The first off in my mind, and when you're talking about the tiger energy, what I think about, so let's just use you as an example, Jen, because you're in this is a six universal year. So numerologically, we have a universal global energy, and that's what you're referring to, the number six. And you just get that very easily by taking the year 2022 and adding it together, 2 + 0 + 2 + 2, and that equals six. And there's a lot of twos going on there, right? So mm-hmm. we get to look at that element as well. Uh-huh. And yet to keep it simple, that is the umbrella energy. We're all kind of globally swimming in that pool, right, of water. And then we have our personal year, which for you is a two, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so the personal year is much more personal. It's much more, it's not, you know, we're inside that playing field of the universal energy. And then we have our specific theme or energy that's supporting us as an individual during the year. So it's fun to begin to look at how layered it can be. And yet it sounds more complicated, and yet it actually brings it into more power, I find, because the six as a universal year is a nurturing energy. It's about responsibility, home, family, the domestic world. It's about a little bit of self-sacrifice. It's all about duty and service. It's very magnetic, justice-minded, all of that. So how do we place that in the context of our entire world right now? And so we're looking at the balance, right? And we're looking at how we are globally dealing with how we see ourselves as a global family. I mean, we're really getting to this point where we have to really, it's in our face with climate change, with everything that's going on, with whatever war or other things that are going, earthquakes, weather stuff. It affects all of us, right? In ways that it hasn't really in the past. We're very, very globally connected economically, climate, everything else. So that's really become, to me in 2022, a very pivotal key feature of what we're all kind of chewing on, right? How do we manage this? How do we see ourselves as ultimately connected, right? And then what, right? Wow. And then what are we going to do? And then if we key it down and digit it down into your personal year, and you're in a two. The two is a slower, more patience building. It's all about relationships. It's kind of a resting time, numerologically speaking. And yet what I want to get back to is your original question about the year of the tiger, which is a little bit ferocious, right? But think about the tiger mom.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that fierceness mm-hmm. that comes in with the mom or dad, the parent, right? And so to me, that's where the connection is, in the fierceness. In the clarity of the protection, right? In the, yeah. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so to me, that is a real emulsifier in terms of the year of the tiger. It's for us to feel that sense of fierceness in our convictions, in our protection, in our, you know, in ourselves in that way. And then it bridges numerologically to how fierce are we to protect our global family. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that there's just these wonderful ways of being able to institute and use that energy to feel on path, right? And to feel purposeful.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. And I was also thinking as you were saying that, as far as the mama tiger, the daddy tiger, it's also like that tribe energy, you know, the six
yes.
and the tiger. It's that tribe. And it's so interesting because, you know, some people, they can discount like, oh, please, like, because they can't see the energy. And so they'll go, oh, that Chinese astrology, numerology, all this stuff, like, whatever, that's not real. I mean, come on, the tiger came in, the Chinese astrology year started in February. That's when the tiger came in. Full force. And that's when everything happened with Ukraine and yeah. Russia. I mean, is that a coincidence? I don't think so. Right. But you're right that it makes you think about even these really painful things that have happened in the world, the mass shooting at the school. And like,
oh,
it makes you think about
yeah, the continued
bringing
yeah.
in your family and your children. And it really shakes you to your core to think about what truly matters in life.
Yes. Values. It really brings you into, you know, what will you do to protect your values in that way?
Yeah.
And that can go in yeah. all kinds of directions, right? I mean, let's be real. And yeah. yet very much so I find that it really, I find the astrology and numerology is always working on the same patterning and the same. It's really fabulous to look at how it's always speaking the same language, just in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I always find interesting too, though, Jen, I'm glad you brought that up. It's like, well, we can't see it. So it's not, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I find that it's, I mean, even to step back on the most skeptical, pragmatic realm and go, look at our medical treatments now. We've got things that we can do with lasers, with sound. There's ultrasounds, but also they are going in with sound and with frequency to dissolve kidney stones, those sorts of things. So we've got so many different things. You can't see that, you know, you can't, I mean,
yeah.
It's a sound wave.
Yeah, good point.
And think about how powerful that is. And when it's directed in a certain way, I mean, I'm hoping that as we move into our age of Aquarius and all the things that we're doing astrologically, we will begin to see these things and integrate them much more so than maybe we have in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's already going that way. 100%. I see. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we go back, you know, even 15 years, even 10 years, like how often did you really hear about, you started hearing about meditation, visualizing, manifesting energy,
yoga. I mean, even just yoga,
yes.
you know,
yes.
I remember I was doing yoga, I was doing it more. I was doing it as meditation, but also as exercise, right? But way before it was a cool thing, you know?
You were a hippie.
Yeah, I actually wasn't. I actually was not. I just, it just appealed to me. And you know, what's really, what I don't know why I'm sharing this, but when I first kind of got into that, it was when I was really going through a lot of turmoil. And I think those listening to your podcast are probably people who are open to this thought or this observation, which is, when we get on this spiritual path, so to speak, however you want to define that, it's not because everything is going great, right?
Yeah.
It's not
No.
like I'm living the dream and
No.
I'm gonna, right? And I'm gonna go on this. No, it's never that. When things are comfortable, when things are predictable, when things are great or not great, and usually they're not great, they're fine. They're
Fine.
fine. Life
None.
is fine,
Don't.
right? Yeah, kind of, yeah, say normal, and yet those we don't grow in any way, shape, or form, but particularly in our spiritual life, without being broken wide open, right? And it's going to be pain, and it's going to be suffering, and it's going to be the other things that we bring with that. And in my early 30s, my mother was diagnosed with some inoperable brain cancer. It was lung cancer that had metastasized to the brain. She was young, in my opinion. She was 59 when she passed away. And I remember during that time, it was my beginning, or kind of, well, my three quarters of the way to, in this spiritual opening that I was headed for. And I couldn't sleep. I just had this really, I was really struggling that way. I was getting physical symptomology. I was getting rashes. All of these other things that were coming into play. And I would say that I work with client after client who things manifest physically, right? When you're in transition, when you're being called upon to look, see things differently and be, respond differently and create your life differently. And yet, what I would do is get up in the middle of the night, which I don't do. I'm a sleep person. I mean, I can't cope without sleep. And so it was weird for me to even get out of bed, but I would get out of bed and I would go down to my living room and I would do yoga poses. This is getting me back to the original thing, which is yoga. I was doing yoga poses without knowing that I was doing yoga poses. I would lie down and I would put my legs over and it would allow me to breathe. So
Wow.
I was ending up, I just had to move my body in a different way to allow to de-escalate the whatever the anxiety and the panic. And I think that was my kind of opening to being open to yoga. At that point, again, I wasn't with my dreadlocks on the beach, and I love dreadlocks on the beach, so it's fine, but not me, it's just not me. So I wasn't doing the hippie thing, but I really was drawn to it intuitively and then ended up doing it because it felt good, because it worked for me in terms of being able to calm my nervous system down and all of that. So it's funny how we're directed into these modalities as well, right?
That is, yes. And I didn't honestly, I didn't mean you were a hippie. I mean that the thought process of any like people that do meditation or do yoga and these things, people would classify that. You know what I mean? They would think, oh, you're hippy dippy, you're out there, you're woo-woo. Look, I had to
Which
embrace.
is all fine, right? I
Fine with
mean,
me. I've actually embraced, I've been called woo-woo many times, and in my circle, I come from a very traditional religious family where you talk about the awakening and having something really painful happen so you get cracked open. That's what happened with me 100%. I was 24 years old, just had a baby, went through and started going through a divorce with a brand new baby.
Oh,
And
wow.
that was, I was just going, you say fine. Okay, I was fine. I nothing like what why do I need to really do much? I'm fine. I'm going through life, right? Well, when all hell broke loose and I say I fell so hard that I hit my head and woke up, which I didn't really hit my head, but it was like, wait a minute, Jen. Where are you going? What are you doing? What are you really guiding these children, because at the time I had a 2-year-old and a brand new baby, your life is now like, who are you and what do you really want to be? Because you are going through a divorce now, and it's time to really think about where are you guiding these children? And so I started just really looking at my life finally, because I was in so much pain that I had to like dissect my life. And I broke off from my traditional tribe, and I am the youngest of 9 children. And so doing that was really, really hard. But I've often thought, if I were a fly on the wall in my family's conversations, what their real opinion of Jen is, like, Aunt Jenny's so weird, so woo-woo, so out there. I'm sure not all of them think that, but I'm sure some of them think that, right? And I've had to embrace my weirdness and really be okay with being different than my community. I also live I almost said Missouri. Whoa, I just went back. I haven't lived there for over 20 years. But
where did you live in Missouri?
Kansas City, Blue Springs. Actually, Blue Springs is where I grew up.
Okay. I had no idea. Why didn't I know that?
I don't know.
I lived in Missouri for a very long time as well.
Oh, you did? What part?
My mother moved my sisters and I to West Plains, Missouri.
Okay.
Way long ago.
Not sure and where that is.
That is in the Ozarks. If you've watched the show Ozarks.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, there you go.
I was going to the Ozarks. Like,
there you go. Yeah. So it's middle of the state, down toward the Arkansas border.
Okay.
Columbia is where University of Missouri is where I got my degrees.
Okay.
So, yeah. Wow. Anyway, just
very cool. Yeah, that's interesting. That came out. I don't know why. In fact, I'm sure some of my Missouri friends listen to this podcast. And so that'll be kind of a fun little thing for them. But yeah, I moved here when I was 15 years old. So I don't know where a lot of the outside towns are, because I moved before I drove, right?
Yes. And and you don't know
before
anything.
You drive, then you're like, I know where the mall is.
Where the mall is and how to get from my house to the school, you know?
So, exactly. Yeah. So I live in Utah, which the culture here is very, very religious, very LDS. It's mm-hmm. changing, because there's a lot of people migrating here and a lot of people from out of state with lots of different belief systems, which is nice. It's a fresh vibe, but leaving the culture when you live in the, you know, in your family, and then also it was a big deal. But and you know what it would be interesting is to go back to what was my personal year in 2000. That would be interesting. Three.
Absolutely. So I 2000.
I totally know what it was.
So 11, 12, 13, 14. That's 5. It was a 7.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course it was a 7, right?
Yeah.
Where I had to let go. I had to let go of my marriage. I had to let go of the life I thought I was going to live.
Yeah.
I had to let go of my belief system. I mean,
Everything.
7 years, like, it's funny.
Felicia. Yeah. The 7 personal year is a real deep dive.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a total deep dive. And yet, let's go back really quickly, if we could, to your numerology, because even after that, you know, conversation about you and your, you know, kind of breaking off from the family traditions in terms of religion and everything else, because numerologically, your life path is a 1 life path. So those of you who don't know, let's just quickly do you mind if we use your date, or if
I'm an open book?
I didn't ask prior to this. I just
tell really, everybody, tell all.
I put you on the spot there.
No, you're good.
So if you're out there and you're like, hey, what are they talking about? How do you even calculate this? It's a easy calculation. You know, heads up though, there are different ways of doing that. We're not going to get into the minutia of the minutia. Right now, what we're doing is giving you an idea. We're always reducing to a 1-digit number. And then how you get there can make a difference if you're getting more detailed and nuanced about the information. But for our purposes, we're going to go, we're we're going to go on 101 here. So you're born on March 11th, 1976. So if you're out there and you want to do your own, we're going to add the month, the day, and the year. So how do we do that? The month is March. It's a three. It's the third month. So there you go. Pretty easy. You're born on the 11th. Okay. You're going to complicate it, which is good. The 11th is a master number in numerology. The double digit numbers, the 11, the double one, the 22, 33, those are the ones that we usually will use in this calculation. They're the only ones that will show up. And then I've had some clients who've had the 44, that sort of thing, but mostly the 11, the 22, the 33 are the master numbers that we work with most directly in numerology. And in this case, we do not reduce that. Okay. So we could talk about why later, but it doesn't matter other than to say, we're going to leave it as an 11 because it's a master number. Now we're going to take 1976 and add, this is the hardest math, okay, that we're going to do. So we're going to add that as one little math problem there. 1 + 9 = 10, + 7 = 17, + 6 = 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 2 + 3 = 5. So we're going to now add 3 + 11 + 5. So that's 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. 19 is 1 + 9 = 10. And we're going to go one more time. you got to go one more time. 1 + 0 = 1. So you're a one life path. So I hope that makes sense for those of you out there can do yours. So as we're talking about numerology, maybe you'll pick up a few things about your own life path.
Let me interject there really quick. I can hear people going, what in the world?
What just happened?
So let me just tell you, okay, especially if you're driving or, you know.
Yeah, whatever. Don't do it. Please.
Later, you can go to Felicia's. We're going to have her website in the show notes. You're going to go to her pot or her website. Why am I having such a hard time talking? Her website, and you're going to go to her life path calculator. Just put your stuff in there and she's got your back there. So just don't worry about it.
Don't worry.
But figure out yours because you want to know it. I promise. You want to know your life path. Okay.
Yeah. And I always find when we're having these podcasts, I always like to do this so that people can feel like they're being like, oh, you know, you can kind of engage yourself in the conversation rather than just, you know, going, I don't have any idea what they're talking about.
Yeah. It's fascinating. So it helps you understand yourself so much and your spouse and your kids and all of that.
Absolutely. It's so fantastic. And so for you, you're a one life path. The life path is, to me, it's what you checked in to do. It is your purpose in life. It's what you're learning, mastering, growing into, evolving toward. And the one is meant to come in and deal with these three levels of development overall, very specifically. Now, you can say, oh, Felicia, everyone has to do this. But for the one, it's really imperative because the one is all learning to be the leader, learning to be this innovative, pioneering innovator in the world. And so how do you do that? You do that by failing forward. You do that by self-definition. You learn that by learning healthy self-esteem, being able to assert yourself, to, you know, fall down and get back up again, sort of thing. And so I find that ones often find themselves in family dynamics. It doesn't have to be horrendous. It's not horrible. I would say that you, with your family, it's like, you don't hate your family, but you're like, this just isn't me. This just doesn't align with me and who I am. And so then you get that moment of either squelching it, acquiescing and becoming angry and cynical and victimized, or you go, I'm either going to go over here and figure it out. Usually it's a little bit rebellious, I have to say, with the one is trying to kind of, you know, kind of that disruption energy, kind of trying to, you know, push up against things and assert your presence and your power in situations. And yet then as you get out of that and seek out what does define you, where your identity lies and really align with that in a healthy way, then that's when you are ready to go to the races as a one life path. That's when you can begin to define, refine yourself, and to really march to that unique drum that you're here to bang. And but also again to move into these leadership situations and lead wisely and well, and also be this dynamic force field that goes with that. And it's not as easy as it might sound, right? You have to be able, the thing about the one is that they're leaders, so they need cheerleaders. You know, they need followers and all of that. But at the same time, they also want acknowledgement and rah-rah. So it's this interesting irony. It's like, I want to be different. I want to be unique. I want to blaze my path. But I also want people to say, yeah, great, do it. Oh my God, we're going to support you. And you never get that, right? So you have to learn to be without it a little bit and forge your path that way. And so it's really interesting to look and see how that showed up for you in your life, and how you came out the other side of that, and being a single parent, right? Mm-hmm. Having to really get real about taking care of yourself, and then taking care of others with that, all of those things that go with it. So it's so wonderful to be able to get into the numerology and validate the experiences, especially the painful ones that you get to go through in order to really learn all about yourself and learn those lessons.
Yeah. Oh, that makes so much sense. What you just said was like with the three phases in a sense for the one life path. It's funny because I've looked at life as, I talk about it as the game of life. The game of life is you have the first phase. I even put it into three phases. And the first phase is to come here, incarnate into planet Earth, and completely forget who you are. Completely forget that you are this magical, omnipotent, spiritual being. You get real into your avatar, your character, right? And that's mm-hmm. the pain.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of pain in the first part of my life, definitely. And side note, I love my family very much.
And I can tell that. I hope that I was clear about that. It's just you find yourself in those situations where it's like, oh, but this isn't exactly me. I love them and all of that. And they have helped me grow into this person. And now what? Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that.
No, I love that. I love that you said you don't hate your family. I was like, no, actually, I love them. I'm in charge of my family reunion this weekend with over 100 people. So I'm going to go and be with my big, beautiful family. But I am very different than the culture. And that was part of it that was really hard, because I knew I was going to break a lot of hearts, and I didn't want to. I didn't want to hurt anyone, you know? But you're right. I had to go like, wait a minute. I got to get my own footing here and kind of find my own belief system. So that second phase is when you start to remember who you are. Yeah. And that's what happened with me, is like, okay, who am I really? Right. And then I say that third phase is where you turn around and you help others remember who they are. But that is really exactly what you just said for the one life path. I didn't realize it was really specific to the one life path of those three phases. Now that you say that, I do remember reading that on your website. I remember reading that somewhere with the one, but I had forgotten that. So that's really interesting.
And often we have to be reminded again and again. It's like anything, right? That we read a book and we put it away, and then we come back to it and we read it again, and it's like a totally different book, you know, because it's speaking to us in different ways than it has before. I'm just using the book as an example. But what I would like to also say about your chart, though, is, I mean, again, it's getting a little bit more in depth, but I think it's really valuable to also say, knowing the life path is great. It's like knowing your sun sign in astrology, and we can all go through life and that's all we know, and that's all we want to know. And yet, if you really want to get more of a depth and breadth, because what I would say about your full, you know, your more full chart, because there are other numbers that come from both your your date of birth and then your name. And so there's different resonances, there's different elements and aspects to this that we can really draw from. And there's a number called the expression number or the destiny number. It's kind of like your rising sign. And there's a soul urge number. It's, you know, what your heart desires. It's what, you know, is really, really there on a soul level that you want to express. Your birthday number, the day you were born, is very significant. And I find the day you were born often is where you find more of a point of identity early on. It's like that comfort zone. And yet you're being asked to bridge that into this new coursework that you're working on in this lifetime, defined by your life path. And the reason I bring this up is because you have two master number 11s in your chart. So your destiny or expression number is an 11/2, and you're born on the 11th. So that is also an 11. So when that shows up in your chart, oftentimes that it even you feel more of that than you even do your life path. But let's also say with you, Jen, you're a one, but you also have two double ones, right? The 11 is a double one. So it's you've got a lot of one energy in your chart, but it shows up with in different ways. It resonates differently, right? And then if I were to also look, the 11 too, is the number of spiritual illumination, very loving, very giving. The two is very relationship oriented, very, very intuitive. Again, you're here to kind of the peacekeeper, the diplomat, but you got the double one, which is also the leader and wants your way, you know, I mean, in many ways. And so you get to navigate the yin yang of that, which is a really powerful thing to understand if you have these dynamics in your chart. So you can understand why you feel that way and how to optimize it, right? And then your soul urge is a 6, which is another relationship-oriented energy. So while I would look at your chart and say, oh, you're absolutely going to be this innovative leader, but you're not going to feel on task unless you are in some really loving, dynamic, healthy relationships and family dynamics, right?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So it really gives you that focal point where if you're juggling that, I don't know if I want, I mean, is this just, you know, me thinking I need? No, really, this is your pathway. And to be able to balance or integrate all of that is really what you're here to do. And here you are. I mean, you're doing it, right? That's also the great thing. It's like, yeah, rah, rah. I'm actually right to give yourself some kudos that you're doing it, that you're living your purpose and your pathway here.
Is part of that one energy where you're really hard on yourself and you never feel like you're there? Like when you just said, give yourself some kudos, like rah, rah. I think that I'm really hard on myself and I'm always thinking, oh, I need to be here or here or here. And I have to remind myself. In fact, I had a reading with you, a personal reading with you before I ever stepped into this year. And I remember you saying to me, okay, it's a two year for you personally. And it's time for you to bake cookies. And I do love those things. I love those things, but I have to tell myself, like, slow down, Jen, like come back and be here now. And I have to be very intentional to get me to sit down and watch a movie in one fell swoop, the whole thing from beginning to end without getting up or doing, you know, laundry or something in the mix. It's like
water torture, you know, like, yeah, like drip, drip, drip. Ah, yeah. I would say that's the master number because it's very edgy, very anxious energy that goes with the 11. And it's also your solar 6, which is all about caretaking. And it's that controlling perfectionism. Mm-hmm. And that goes with it. And you've got so much antenna and so much radar around caretaking for others.
Mm-hmm.
And then where the one comes in with being hard on yourself is it's usually, I would say the being hard on yourself, if I were to have to qualify it, I would say it's more the 2 and the 6.
Mm, okay. So,
The one is usually like, I'm, you know, what everyone else is doing something wrong. I'm right. Right. I mean, that's the overall kind of attitude. Underneath it, there's a whole other story, right? A lot of ones can show up large and in charge, but there's some insecurity under there and some unworthiness under there.
Oh, totally.
That is the bluster is there to cover up or to camouflage or whatever. But boy, the two and the six, very much the caretakers, the givers, the overgivers, the sensitives, the ones who are, you know, kind of apologizing for taking up space, you know, sometimes, if you know what I mean. And so that can come into play. But the beauty of it is, don't you find this, Jen, having even just a shred of self-awareness allows you to look at that and experience it differently every single time, to even understand, I mean, even to put yourself through an exercise where you're like, okay, I know that I can't, even just use your example, I'm going to watch this movie from start to finish. I'm going to relax. I'm going to be in my jam jams. I'm going to, you know, have popcorn or whatever, and I am not going to get up other than to go to the bathroom or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then when you start feeling that edginess, to simply observe it as an invitation to observe it, and go, what's coming up for me right now? Why, you know, what is it? And we have to look at how we get rewarded for doing. Right?
Yeah.
And how that keys it. So it really is a great opportunity and invitation to simply be with that feeling and to observe it. And maybe you do get up and fold a load of laundry. You know, maybe you do. Yeah. And that's okay. But to simply then, you know, maybe you take it to the coffee table and do it while you're watching this time rather than, you know what I mean?
Right,
I mean,
right.
It sounds kind of corny to say it this way, but this is why I love being the practical numerologist, because how do we do this every day on planet Earth? Mm-hmm. We have responsibilities. We have families. We have jobs. We have to take care of our physical bodies. We have to, all of these things. We have to make money. So how do we implement all of this stuff on the daily?
Yeah.
And it comes down to exactly what you know we're talking about right now. How can we have an awareness around that and just pivot it just a little bit?
Yeah. So interesting. So, okay. So when we talk about the sixth universal, let's go back to the sixth universal year. Next year is the seven. Okay. Now I know we're still in the six. I know we're still in six. That's fine. That's cool. And I know you always do a deep dive and like a seminar for people for the upcoming year, which is super awesome. And I'm excited to hear that. Can you give us a little teaser though? Because I do like to just kind of have a little peek into the next year. And I know it's a ways away, right? But it's going fast. But 7 years have been the biggest years of my life. Like when it's funny, Felicia, because I often see with my life coaching clients, like I have them where they're in the nitty gritty of going through something in their life. And then they're doing good. We'll get into the coaching and I see them weekly. They get in a really good place, go off, fly, you know, the little fly out of the nest. And then many times in the seven personal year, they come back. Hey, Jen, where are you at? I need you. I'm going through some stuff. And I'm like, oh yeah, you're in your 7 year, right?
Yeah.
It's a nitty gritty year. But
it really is.
How's this going to show up with all of us?
Well, let's just give a little, trajectory, not a spoiler alert, but a little bit of a trajectory of the, you know, how to think about the seven and the seven personal year and then the seven universal year. Because the seven, so to back up, we're in numerology, we're always dealing with 9 year cycles. 1 through 9, right? So a seven, we're getting toward the end. Okay. And so the five is kind of in the middle of it. The five is a changing time, right? Six is more responsibility. And then seven is more about navel gazing, right? And yet it is a time that is set up for a deep, deep level of introspection, a deep, deep level of really being available to and open to opening the can where your deepest shadows are and letting them come out to play with you. There's a numerologist named Dr. Juno Jordan. Now she's passed away, but I love what she says about the seven when it shows up as a cycle, because it's so simple, but it's kind of a baby Yoda kind of thought. It's the seven is the year to develop and create the right state of mind. And it's like, oh, that's so what? You know, but ooh, just step back and think about that. So it's developing the right state of mind. It's developing a sense of trust in yourself, in the universe, in the flow of the universe. Seven is often a time I find where things, let's just say this, where things happen to you rather than you initiating them. And what I mean by that, let's say, for instance, and let's use the example of the nine personal year. So the seven personal year and the nine personal year, I think they kind of rival each other in terms of loss or the way that we perceive loss, okay? Because the nine is about surrender, conclusions, letting go. It's like a commencement time. It's like a graduation into the next phase and stage of an entirely new personal year, 9-year cycle that comes the year later in a one. But the seven is often where things, like, let's say, for instance, you're in your nine personal year, you've wanted to get a divorce and you initiate the divorce. In the seven personal year, you've been, you know, on that balance beam and your spouse initiates the divorce. So it happens to you, right? I'm just using that as an example, right?
Yeah.
And so you feel like you're the dumpy, right? There's a difference between
Think about this, 2000, the year 2000, when I was going through my divorce, that I just felt so rejected. You're right.
Yes.
It happened to me, I felt.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I just use that as an example of how it feels. It feels victimizing. It feels totally. Why me? It feels like this isn't fair. It feels like, you know, it has that feeling. The opportunity and the invitation for the seven universal year and personal year is to study, to analyze, to meditate, to be in a little bit more of an introspective retreat mode. And it is a year earmarked for substantial, deep, deep changing core levels of spiritual growth. But it's gradual, right? It's this very deep, gradual processing time. I say the seven is really, whenever you think of the seven, it is all, if there's one word there, it's processing, right? It's like, let me process this information. Let's digest it. It's not quick and snappy. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so how might this show up for all of us in this seven universal year? It's a little bit of a pause before we collectively are moving into this 3-year push time transition cycle globally. So this is a time to kind of get our proverbial you know what together, mm-hmm. right? And to really take some time to decide deeply what the values and what the next steps are. And really, it's a time to get to know thyself in the most profound level. Again, it sounds a little corny, a little lofty, but really you have to get a little bit that way when you talk about the seven. The seven overall is that spiritual vibe. I mean, even those of us, you know, seventh heaven, you know, lucky number seven, all of those attributes that we have just in the basic way we talk about the numbers. It's funny to see the cliches that we have around numbers and how much they do align with the numerology in many ways. So in any event, I just see this as a very, It's going to be a pretty much of a deep dive for all of us. I mean, look at what's going on globally and how things are playing out across the board, health-wise, economy, just all of it. And so what direction? So I think it's going to be a time where there's going to be some more inventive things coming out of this. You know, it's kind of like necessity is the mother of invention, and it's going to be a time where people are going to be coming up and with more. I think during that year, there's going to be a lot of processing and beginning to get things in route for the 8th personal year, where they will come out with new concepts, new ideas, new things that are going to help us all, well, ostensibly, collectively, or that'll be the goal anyway. So does that make sense?
So fascinating. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. I am. I mean, I'm always looking forward to, you know, every year. It's exciting. I feel like right now is the most exciting time to be on planet Earth. And a lot of people are having a miserable go at it because they're focused on a lot of painful things, and it is hard. It is painful. And I know there's a lot of hard things going on in the world, but it's also, there's that other side to it, and things are definitely not boring. I mean, it's a really, things are changing rapidly. And a lot of things, I am an optimist, and I see the good, and I see that there are a lot of really good things happening in our world, and people are really shifting and changing and waking up to things that they were numb to before. They were just going in life. And so, it's exciting to me. It really is. But, you know, when you say that, I have a question for you. So when, you know, when you made me think about this, when you were talking about that 7th personal year that you can get in that victim mode. And that's definitely where I was at in 2000, when I went through my seven year personal year. Then, you know, many years later, I also was in a 7 personal year in 2018. Mm-hmm. And it was a very different experience for me. I didn't feel like I was in a space of victim, but I let go of a lot. And my mother passed in that year. Mm-hmm. And it was a very spiritual year for me. I let go of a lot of friendships in that year, a lot of relationships. I felt like just walking through the year was like bomb after bomb after bomb, like combustion of just letting go. And it was a lot of growth. But what that makes me think of is, do you feel like when someone has done a lot of work, when they're in a higher place than they were before, maybe in alignment more versus out of sorts more, that the pros and cons of those different numbers show up differently?
Absolutely. And I would make two observations about that. First of all, you know, we have these rotating personal years, right? And they'll happen every 9 years until we pass on. And so your 7 personal year, you know, your first one is going to be a lot different than your third one, or a lot, because of experience, because of maturity, because of, you know, what you're doing and how you're doing it and how you're developing in your life. So if you're kind of not on, you know, not on target, or, and I don't want to say that in a critical, judgmental way. I do truly believe that we opt in with a framework and with different opportunities, right? I don't know if you're, this is a little bit off the chain, but I don't know if you've ever listened to anyone who has experienced near-death experiences. I've had several clients who have had near-death experiences, this sort of thing. You can just go to YouTube and, you know, and listen to some of these. They're exactly the same, only very different in terms of the unique things that individuals will experience, but the framework is the same. And one of the consistencies there is of doing life review and looking very distinctly and specifically about when you gave yourself these opportunities. I was listening to one the other day, and this woman said, yeah, I mean, and she was run over by a car and had a near-death experience later in life, but she could see during this near-death experience that she had that be, and what I love is that oftentimes, most of the time, people who have these are atheists or very skeptic, I mean, scientific-minded, skeptical about these things. And they have these experiences and come back and go, ah, okay, how do I integrate this? And so my point being, though, is she was able, I'm using this as an example, in the larger scope of our numerology, that we kind of contract for different. She could see that she had an opportunity in her late teens, early 20s to open to a spiritual belief system rather than truly she was an atheist and she chose not to. And then she saw at that point that she had another opportunity when her father passed away to open to that. And she said, oh, I totally shut that off and totally, did everything I could to keep that lion away. And so then she had a third point in her chart that said, okay, here's your other opportunity. And she took that one, which was the near-death experience. So I only say that in terms of if we take that wider view, I mean, numerology gives us a really great framework, but I think there's just so much here that we're working with in terms of giving ourselves these opportunities. And to me, numerology or any of these ologies are never, ever, ever to judge, to criticize, to demean, to demoralize, to anything else. If that's happening, I mean, I feel like this is a very sacred experience to have these, and it's never to be used that way. I find this information is very much, no harm, no foul. I mean, what I love about it is that that's what we're all here to do. We're practicing.
Yeah.
We're here to experience and we're practicing. So to go back to your original question, basically, yes, there are some 7 personal years where you're kind of going to be riding in the flow, and that is when things open up. That is when you get this level of trust and this level of ease within all that is. And that's when, again, the relationships might fall away because they just aren't necessary or feeding you in that way. That's when your mother dies and you get a stronger connection, maybe with her even in spirit, than you may have even had with her in real, so quote unquote real life. And so those are things, and yet sometimes I find even as we grow spiritually, sometimes the lessons become even more rigorous. So the 2 points I'm trying to make is that, yeah, when you can say, well, I'm an above level spiritual practitioner because everything is flow and easy. Well, I don't see it that way. I see that even when things are very, very challenging, I think when you're in an elevated position in your spiritual awareness, you even look at that as such a gift. You can see the way in which it is teaching you, it is opening you. And I'll give you an example. I entered into an 8 pinnacle. That's another cycle of time. In numerology, I don't have eights anywhere else in my chart. And for the rest of my life, and I had a relationship break. And short story is, there was a lot of financial chaos and turmoil that went in. The eight is all about money, finances, personal empowerment, becoming an authority, all of those things. And I got to tell you, I had 3 years where I was literally kind of on my knees. And yet, if I didn't have the tool of numerology, it could have kind of broken me. But honestly, when I knowing what I know about that, about it, and it doesn't also mean that you are exempt right? Just because you know about numerology, just because it doesn't mean you're exempt from working it, from doing it. It's like psychics who can't tell anything about themselves, right? They can be a psychic reader for everybody on the planet except for themselves. So it's that same sort of thing. So it's, you have to, you're here to experience it. And yet my basic point here is that because I knew that this was what I was working with, it was kicking my ass so hard. And yet there was kind of pleasure in that pain because I knew what I was up, what I was learning. I knew what my point of mastery was. And I knew that once I moved through this successfully, that I was going to be so empowered that there would be nothing that I couldn't do or face. So even when it's happening, you can have that point of appreciation, maybe through the tears, but you can still know why it's happening and you can still make the most use out of it. It doesn't mean that you don't have to go through it, right? So to me, that is the power of this kind of knowledge. It's not going to, you know, keep things light and fluffy and marshmallow creamy. I mean, that's not the point. The point is that it gives you, it really just up levels your experience and allows you to really feel in alignment with your task in life. We're all here to learn, you know? So that's what we're doing.
That makes so much sense. So much sense. I totally feel that to my bones when you say that. Side note, if it was marshmallowy, fluffy goodness, it'd be boring. That'd be so boring. Everyone thinks that they want that. They don't really want that. I mean, date a guy that has no flaws, you're bored, ladies.
Oh my gosh.
Let's be real. That he's just like dawning, like fawning over you. No, and treat you right all the time. Like, I mean, yes, we want
yeah, there's a certain level
there, but yeah. With that, it makes so much sense. And I love that. It's kind of like, to me, I think of it like, and maybe you've said this, and this is where I got this with the roadmap. It kind of gives you like, if you're going into a storm, doesn't mean you don't have to go through the snowstorm because you have the roadmap.
Right.
But now you've got the roadmap and it helps so much where you're like, okay, look, we're going to have, it's right now. They have those awesome, the navigation is amazing. You can see literally a red line of how long you're going
to
be in.
Yeah, it's like the weather app. You know, we're going to have storms from this time to this time, but then it's open up at this time.
Yeah. Or if you're in bumper to bumper traffic because of a bad accident, you're like, hey, look, we're almost through it. We only have this long. And so turn on the music.
I sort of say pump up the music.
Yeah, let's enjoy, right? It's all good. Let's have a good convo with whoever's in the car, right? But to me, that's the difference of it being miserable, blind chaos of like, I don't know how long this is gonna last. I don't know what all this is for. I don't even know what I'm doing, as opposed to, okay, all right, this sucks. This is painful. I got to go through it, but we're going to get through it and it's going to be okay.
And everything is temporary.
Everything is temporary. Absolutely. And I love that you mentioned near-death experiences. To me, that is the number one thing that helped me grow and learn
I love that.
Who I am more than any, like these bookshelves back here are full of near death experiences. I'm fascinated.
Really?
I am fascinated with them. And I need to get someone on the show that has had an experience. I want to talk to someone. I actually have a dear friend that I haven't talked to her for many years. She's got a lot of health issues. And she went through a near-death experience and it was a major, major part of my spiritual awakening.
Yes.
Even meeting this woman and reading her book and going into that whole world, because to me, there's nothing that helps us understand ourselves more than listening to these stories of people that have been on the other side of the veil, in that other dimension, to really tell you. It's just so fascinating.
And they'll tell you the same thing over and over again about what's important and why we're here and what's going on. And if we could just, whenever we're feeling this sense of despair, just go back and look at one of those and just, it can really readjust us so quickly if we want to, if we want to.
Absolutely. There's a, on that note, there's Anita Morjani. Do you know who she is?
Yes.
Anita Morjani. She has a whole series on YouTube that is, I forget what it's called, but it's called The Other Side of the Veil, I think. But when you get into that intensity, that seriousness of life, it's kind of like we're in a movie. I love how you said, you know, when you can have a relationship with your mom, even more connection than when she was the real, and you did the quotation marks, right?
Yeah.
This is all really like, it's like we're on a movie set.
Okay? Yeah, absolutely.
And we get so into our characters, but when you pull back and you go, wait a minute, this isn't even real. Now I know it matters, and I know what we're doing here really matters. I know the growth really matters. I don't mean to discount like the pain, the experience. It really matters.
Yeah.
But
we wouldn't be here otherwise. And yet sometimes we have to kind of step back and go, okay, just chill it a minute. I mean, come on, take
just laugh, enjoy
it, you know, just, I don't know, eat the cupcake. I don't know, whatever.
Remind me, Felicia, are you a three?
I am. Okay. A three life path. Yeah.
Three life path. Okay. Yeah. Yes. I have two of my children are three life paths. So maybe that's why I immediately.
We have to talk.
Love you immediately. Like, I remember the first time we met, it was like, it was just an immediate connection. I love those three. I have a special place in my heart for those threes, but
isn't it funny how I always talk about that too, is like how the numbers that we pull into our circle, right? Mm-hmm. And we can look and see what they're, you know, that you often attract certain numbers and the other ones are like, no, not a chance.
That's what I was going to say. Is there anyone that you're like, you look up their number, you're like, oh, I wouldn't go on a date with them. Not that you would say that, because I know that there's no number that's not, that everybody's at their different place, and there's no, like you said, there's no bad. But is there someone for you that you're like, okay,
absolutely. There are the ones that I would go, no, don't think so. Don't think I'll give that a go. And yet, just like you're saying, it depends on how we're engaged with it. Because like you said, you can have three life paths in your life who are these wonderful, incredible, buoyant, communicative people, or you could kind of have the oppositional three, which is cynical, depressive, pessimistic, inappropriate in the way that they express and they talk and everything else. So we're with every number, we have the opportunity to deal with the oppositional pull that comes with it. And that's the lovely thing. I have clients who come in and they're like, okay, none of this, I don't want to hear all about, I've read all about my, I want to know what my issues could be. I want to hear what the, you know, what the challenge points are. And sometimes it's really even more priceless to know what those challenges are going to be, what those tendencies, what the obstacles might be. And because we're always going to be working on them, even when we're really good at what we do, we're still going to keep getting those people, the experiences, everything that test us and that challenge us with that until the last, you know, till our last moment. We're going to be getting those, because we always think, right? We're so funny, aren't we? As people, we're like, why do I keep repeating that? I want to be done, you know, and we feel a sense of failure when we haven't, you know, overcome that or changed that dramatically. And I find that it's all about repetition. It's repeating until you learn a bit more as you go along. So we're so hard on ourselves, aren't we?
Oh, we are. Okay, so let's end with a fun little exercise. I thought this would be fun. If I just say a word and you just tell me the life path that comes to mind for you. And then afterwards, people, and this is all just in fun, right? We're
yes.
Again,
please nobody get offended.
we've already got we've already laid the groundwork and said, you know, there is a difference in however you're at with your maturity level, your evolved patterns. Like if you're a more evolved human being, then you're going to be at a different place, which I'll start with saying one thing about the one life path, which I have realized within myself, is they can kind of have that it's my way or the highway. Okay. So I'm going to start with just owning that I've had to, you know, see that pattern within myself and go, I don't want to be that person, especially in a marriage, you know, and they can also be a bit controlling. Is that something? I think so. And so I've had to realize, you know what? My husband does not want to be married to his mother. That is not sexy. So step into the girlfriend, to the wife role, the partner, the friend, the teammate, right? And yes. So I continue to try to do work on that. So I just owned that before I did this exercise so that I can be
love it
the guinea pig there. Is there something you want to say for the three that you've had to own?
No, okay. I'm kidding.
There's nothing. They're perfect. I mean, my son and my daughter are pretty perfect in their threes.
No, I think for the three, that's a really good question because there are so many things that I've learned in my years now. I think that one of the things that the three doesn't understand is how emotionally volatile they can be. And so learning to really discipline the emotional world so that they, and to learn to, I think the biggest thing that the three is learning is expression. So there's going to be blocked expression, even when a three seems, you know, like the fireball and the one who's, you know, the class clown and all of that. Underneath, there's a real sensitivity, a real fear of criticism, and a lot of emotional expression that gets blocked. And so I think that I didn't realize that my task is to actually feel my feelings rather than just think about them. And that's something that I'll talk about with three life paths a lot. It's like they can intellectualize it all day long, but when it comes to actually feeling it, because the magic for the three comes when they feel their feelings and then use that as a point of expression for art, for writing, for anything, because they're the creators in the world. And that's usually their material and what they're meant to be using as their point of expression.
Wow. Okay. Love it. Okay. So let's do this. And just whatever comes up.
It's like the Rorschach test.
Yes. But... Okay. Intense.
9.
Class clown.
3.
Gentle.
2.
Wise.
7.
Fun.
5.
Crybaby.
Oh, 11 too.
Easygoing.
That's like easygoing. 6. No, not the 6. No. Easygoing. Gosh, that's a funny word. Easygoing. 3.
Oh, that's what I would think. Okay.
Yeah.
Loving.
6.
Almost where they love too much sometimes. That's my husband. He's a 6. I'm like, why do you care so much? Where it's like, it turns.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. That's what they're learning, how to modulate that sense of caring and responsibility. Yep.
Okay. Promiscuous.
5.
Creative.
1.
Okay.
And the 9 though. The 9 is a creative tsunami. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Healer.
7.
Control freak.
6.
Yes. Steamroller.
8. I forgot the eight. I haven't even talked about the eight yet. Eight.
Yes. What's a, that's my last one. So what's a, let's leave it with a good one for the eight as well.
Powerful.
Yes. So
very powerful, very powerful. The eights.
Yeah.
So,
you know, what's funny is I often, when I run people's numbers and they have an eight, I have this sense of being like, oh, congratulations. Like, I feel like telling them like they won the lottery or something. Like, and I know there's that other side to it. I know, believe me, mm-hmm. I get it. Cause I know what you're probably thinking, like, Jen, it's not all good, but I literally am like, my next life, I'm coming back as an eight.
Coming back as an eight. Well, you better talk to a few eights for a while before you sign on the dotted line for that one. Cause it's pretty intense.
Yeah.
For eights. It really, really is. And yet, that's funny though. It's, I love that you're like, congratulations, you won the lottery.
You're an eight. Yay. Oh my gosh. Thank you for being here. I just love my conversations with you. You are so delightful. Everyone, I want you to check her out. Her website is so insightful. Lots of goodies on there. FeliciaBender.com. It'll be on in the show notes. I also, you also do in-depth readings for people, mm-hmm. which Absolutely. Really help people understand a lot about their lives. Kind of tell people what you do in those.
Yes. Well, I do one-on-one readings and we really will go over everything as much as possible. In terms of, we'll go over your pinnacle, your personal year, go through all of your numbers and really thin slice those, put them into perspective, and we'll do a smattering of other things there too. But it's really like a cosmic therapy session. I find it's just a really great way to get an overview, and then also we can look at very specific things or issues that you might be, you know, needing some clarity around at any given time.
Yes, I love it. Mine was so great, and it gave me, I mean, the best thing, you gave me permission to like chill out and go, you know, snuggle with my babies and bake some cookies. Hello. That's amazing.
Yay. Yay.
So, all right. And hopefully I can have you back next year at the beginning of the year again, so you can kind of give us more goodies as far as the 7 years. So we'll revisit that, but I'm looking forward to hopefully having you back on again.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Enjoy the rest of the year though. Okay.
Yes. Oh, we will. We will. All right. Thank you everyone for being here, and I will talk to you next week. Bye for now.
Do you have a coach? I would love to take this journey with you to dive deep and start to shift those areas to create a life that truly honors you. I'll meet you on that bridge at whatever level you are ready, with either group or one-on-one coaching. You can check out my programs at jensuliathu.com/programs. Also, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and rate and review this show and give me your feedback. Also, please share this with your friends and family and be a lighthouse out in the world. Thanks for joining me.